This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
I think Lorca tells us what to think of the Duende in relation to, and he certainly just said it was a daemon, and I don't think it's a personal rhythm. Daemon's a real spirit who attends you in the and it is a resource outside yourself, although I know it's not supposed to be inside the psyche. But I never quite believed that.
Well, do you have any problem with that division?
No, not at all. I mean, inside and outside.
Right.
Because it's more fun if it's outside, like wanting to go to haunted houses.
Matter of fact, if he's inside, then we'll put him
he's
outside.
He's inside where?
But you can meet him.
Yeah,
have to
right.
Probably that damn Socrates appropriation of him.
He's walking around with him in his pocket.
He kept a dirty little secret there.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, as it's been often said, the whole trouble is that suddenly all the that used to be called Rueful Logos died in that moment. Socrates knew no goddamn thing about the stories of the past. Absolutely. They suddenly would kill him. Story was that they died with Socrates. He didn't even know what the point of Helen hanging herself from a tree was, or somebody getting a dirty piece of an ankle or something. He, literally the rational impulse to suffer.
So the demon was given a rational place to live outside of any story. The way it turned out,
either in
philosophy, he was in philosophy.
Any story,
yeah.
Inside
yeah.
Or out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was asking, can you get any kind of personal, physiological rhythm out of the doing this for your poetry? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, but doesn't Locke, I used it in that review of Creeley's book at the end, doesn't Locke literally propose three poetry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Poetry of the Duende.
He was reading from that left.
Yeah. Yeah. The Duende of the Muse.
And the angel.
And the angel.
And
he opposes
the Geist.
He opposes the Muse, absolutely, which for him is French poetry. Apollinaire, he says, is a stinky Muse.
Well, I can
and
hear
he wants to write at the Duende all alone, and he doesn't want any of those angels in there.
That's
so,
right.
So you find a man who thinks it turns into an argument, but I just told them don't pay attention to the argument because we find here the
right.
You can find the other part of what you're saying and what you're arguing against in this, and you can throw it out that way to those three, and I didn't think of what else was kind of the question. But
I think it's an enormously helpful division, and much more interesting than that one of Towns, which lasted awfully well for half a century, but the one which I heard you referring to, even in instructing someone about Fanopeia, I think we ought to really treat that one below its formulation, as well as take the Lorca thing as a formulation which really can be sort of felt out rather than to go below that formulation.
What is the technique for going about feeling out the duende, or feeling the duende in is there any way of conjuring up or conjuring
in? Well, I don't know. I mean, would you call yourself a duende poet?
Yeah. Duende.
You would?
What
would you call yourself?
Well, what would you cheat? I'm not calling the ticket right now.
No, but just the call of it, you the tickets and see what if I was shipping Alan to...
I call myself a muse poet, except there are some complications.
We know about the complications. What about the simplification?
The simplification, I think, is.
I think I call Freeman a poet of the angel, if I'm not mistaken, in that review, didn't I? But
it would count for the.
And I don't mean you're. Well, I'm not sure, as a matter of fact. That's like your hipsters are very similar.
If you want to make it with a duende, it's you that would have to stamp your foot while you're making the foot.
But you know, really, it wasn't a question in Lorca's mind about what this But going after this duende thing, it was whether the poem was demonic. I mean, had this kind of, and whether the duende was in it as well as you were. I mean, and that I'm. Actually, it's so concrete that my mind has to go back to specific things that happen in the poem where I'm not, where I can see something else is happening and then account for it, and that's why I think in these things.
I think it would be extremely valuable if everybody in this room sort of understood to
what
some
the
extent
music?
Which of the three roads they most naturally are traveling on at this point of time, anyhow.
I have some definite earmarks so that would indicate the muse was in question. For one thing, melody and memory being absolutely essential to my movement in poetry, so that if we were looking at it detective-wise, it would make a pretty good... And the appearance of the... Although I don't trust the appearance of Apollo. You see, one very... That's the trouble with what you evoke. You can't always...
You don't trust the appearance of Apollo?
No, I meant that...
Well, I don't think you should.
I can prove to you
that Apollo and Aphrodite are god and goddess of a particular hour of 24.
Mm.
And it's been... We've lost great lengths of strength because of the failure to specify the... canon of mythology. We've really lost it, and we play around with something which really has much deeper and tremendous plant or fix for both life and work. And just this point, the birth of the two of them, even in the island they were born in and the conditions under which they were born, that title of both of them, it's rather hung back before they became sort of those dopey...
Before the Olympians,
I mean, you've got to be statuary rather than... the wickedest thing in the world is what happened to the whole... That's the latest. It's a little island just off the coast, and it's a double island, and she was born first, and she brought her mother over to help her in the birth of Apollo. So Apollo gets born on one little island.
Apollo's on Rhodes?
No, I'm so stupid. It's a very great title they both carry. But the point I would wish that you would be always sure about the damn Greeks. And you can get it in an enormous fashion by looking at Clark's book on the nude. There's one moment, I think the date is 476 B.C., in which the damn model, the model modeling, stencil stamp, just as much as the American Express Company imposed itself upon all of this, stiffened it up, made it ideal long before the three thinkers came along. The whole vision of nature and man was just put in a freezer like a popsicle.
Yeah.
And even if it's beautiful, it still is. It became a popsicle.
Beauty was limited to the popsicle at that point.
Yeah, well, that's when beauty again got all
absolutely closed in, and everything else was out of it.
Where does that happen?
It's exactly in the statue of who had been Clary and became Venus, and who had been became Apollo. And these two were really great creatures of youth instead of what they come out as everything we've ever had, which is simply beauty, male and female, or love, male and female. And they really are, they're gooped off from that point themselves. It's very hard to get at them because of that, because Venus becomes Callipagus, Apollo becomes
Belvedere Road,
let's go to the Hotel Apollo. It's an enormous stiffening, which I'm not sure we today are not just simply the other end of. We're now sucking the popsicle down of the stick. But quickly, get rid of
and wait for the message on the stick.
Absolutely, and which has a message, which again gets me back to
the same round again.
Which gets me back to the advantage of not talking poetry as though it was, as though Malapia, Logopia, and Fanopia were three sort of styles.
Yeah,
so that does come up
but
style.
But it doesn't work that
and
way.
And it doesn't work
that
way
at all.
And in fact, the basis on which any of us are really both living and writing is much more in Locke's idea of the muse, the duende, and the angel. What is his word for angel, by the way? Do you
have no, he just, oh,
he just says angel?
Angel, straight on. And he dismisses it, but that the thing is that the church, Mohammedan and Christian and Jewish churches, had all dismissed the angels officially. That again at the time
sure.
when it couldn't fit in at all.
Yes, except in the first half of the 13th century, Israeli Muslimism is really rediscovering the angel like God, is rediscovering an anthropology as well, and has a time in there which is as great as the recognition by Whitehead that we only are living, that we're living only in an electromagnetic echo, which may be 500 million years long, but what a sort of a quick point that makes, that you don't exaggerate this great condition of the present. I mean, it is only one of other alternatives. So that suddenly you found Duende, Muse, and an angel both on some baseline, which is interesting, as well as give yourself a chance to appropriate some anthropology or angelology which makes sense to you. And I swear the Muse is an anthropological, somewhere is an anthropological, mantra, such Eidolon, mantras and sign, gesture is sign.
Mudra.
A mudra.
Yeah. But the Indians have the Saraswati goddess of burning poetry and the Hindu goddess with a mandala.
Yes, that's the. But we're not really there.
The muses weren't goddesses. They danced around figure, and so that they could, you could name one part of it and one another, but there were a ring dancing.
Oh, and how?
I mean, in the poem.
Ritual, isn't it? I don't mean in the poem, but I got a muse, and I just call her up because I happen to know who she is, and I just think about her. No, I mean it's that literal. Oh, sure.
Sometimes she calls you up in the middle of work.
Then I don't answer. Don't telephone calls.
Once in our period when we identify with everything, and people have been called angels, and people have been called demons, and duendes, but I wonder about the poet even having the presumption to name himself a muse. I mean,
I don't think so at all.
Well, this is interesting because some certainly there's been. Take Swedenborg, who thinks angels are people, and that people are essentially
angels. I think he's got a great idea.
The self should be an angel. Yeah, or the self should be a duende. Then should the self be a muse? No,
I don't think so at all. That's why you have what's called the music.
It's clear in my mind. The music is the music.
But equally, Duende and angel are objectifiable, too. I'm totally convinced that we really are talking three worlds in and out,
yeah.
Which are all on
all
different
the same planes.
Planes
of the same night.
Three different planes, and you may or not, you may be invoked or inspired by any one of those three according to some peculiar corpuscular character of your own self.
Well, no, those muses were, they got a lot to do with melody and dance, but they're, almost everything in its movement was thought to be...
Well, no, but they're minor late. Ezra again.
And the poet always says there's a muse.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
his
God is really true.
And that may be Mama...
Usually, it is, as a matter of fact. It's that little wife of Zeus,
yeah.
Daughter, and it's tough to say. Was she a daughter or was she one of his girls? I think she was one of his wives. In fact, one of the very earliest was Mimosa.
I'm trying to...
No? Pretty sure.
By the way, you were in that Orphic order where you're not, where the gods are really out of the picture.
Philosophy?
I said, was Mnemosyne ever in that Orphic order where the gods are out of the picture?
No, I don't know. The great passage on the muses, by the way, you can read, is in Pausanias' visit to Helicon, where he actually sees the statues of the three muses, not the vain. The nine is like that Olympian system. There were three, and they're wonderful. They're like Graves' bullshit about the triple goddess, but they clearly are three powers. Like you were talking Pauline and you're talking. Mm-hmm.